Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you'd like to find my text, it'll be found in the book of Philippians. That's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. Or come to John and turn right. It's good to see you this morning. I'm just kind of looking at you. Just a minute. Hang on a minute. Okay. I see a few new faces. Welcome. It's good to have you with us this morning. If I do a lousy job preaching, it's because of sugar. I told the earlier service, if I happen to pass out, just tell the EMTs it was a cookie that did it. Anything's likely to happen. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 7. And you know what? Put my glasses on here. There we go. What did I say? I told you things were going to get rough. It was a test. Some of you passed. Philippians. I'll give you another moment. You know, as we come to the end of the year, all the news media and everything, you know, they're doing the reflect on the year. We'll see that all week. It'll be on the news and every place. It'll be 25th year in the news, 2015. All the good things and all the difficult things that have happened in our lives. Anybody have any difficult things happen in your life this year? A few of you? Okay. And then out of the rubble of 2015, we make New Year's resolutions. Have you started working on your New Year's resolution yet? How many of you, it includes dieting? Come on, we can fess up, some of you. Are you going to help me this morning or not? You do realize that I preach longer when you don't help me. Much longer. It'll seem like an eternity, as a matter of fact. Anybody have any stress? 2015? Let me see, how many had some stress in 2015? Oh, there, I found it. There's the button. It's the stress button. Cool. Yeah, we have stresses of finances. I won't have you lift your hands on these. Stresses of finances, stress of success. Some of you wanted to topple the world. Stress of decisions that we focus to make. Stress of health issues, potential health issues. Then there are the daily stresses of what to wear, what to eat. The boss that doesn't appreciate your efforts. The mate that doesn't understand you. Come on. Anybody? Boy, you're quiet now, aren't you? There are even stresses that other people put on us. Huh? Or stresses that we put on ourselves. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning because I believe the Apostle Paul, in a very familiar passage of Scripture, gives us some simple things to do to reduce the stress in our lives. I should say simple and yet hard. Now, there's one for you. You might be like a gal by the name of Maria Brunner from Germany. She was willing to go to jail to get a break. Her husband was unemployed. So she supports the three children by cleaning houses. And even without a job, her husband managed to rack up $5,000 worth of unpaid parking tickets. But as the owner of the vehicle, Maria was responsible for those tickets. And if she or her husband couldn't come up with the money, they were telling her she had to go to jail. But she welcomed the thought. She said, "I've had enough of scraping a living for my family. As long as I get food and a hot shower every day, I don't mind being sent to jail. I can finally get some rest and relaxation." The police reported that Maria repeatedly thanked them for arresting her as she was carted off to jail. Maybe you're in that place. It's just crowded in on you so that you'd be willing to spend, you know, maybe some of our officers here and could wrangle up something and send you off to the pokey for a while. Anybody want to go to jail for a week or two? Oh, there's some hands. Okay. I was going to ask how many would like to be in the hospital next week, but I'm afraid to. I'm afraid somebody will lift their hand. The Apostle Paul here in this passage gives us a de-stressing plan. And I just kind of want to encourage you with it this morning. And it will be up to you as to whether or not you will take this into your life, because there's a little bit of responsibility that's connected to it. But I can tell you the part of responsibility that is connected is to your benefit as well. So you can make up the decision. Verse number 7 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, it says, Paul says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Amen. Paul sets up the passage in verses 7 to 11 here. He compares all of his credentials to knowing Jesus. And he has a long list of credentials. With his credentials come expectations, things that are expected of him because he is who he is. But then he says, whatever, in verse 7, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, I throw all of the things that are to my glory, I throw them to a side for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus in my life. What is he saying? He's saying that I have learned that in all that I can do, in all that I can accomplish, it really is meaningless in comparison to what Christ can do in my life in one moment. Maybe you found that to be true. A moment in the Lord's presence is worth 1,000 minutes of worrying over something. It is. Nothing compares with knowing Jesus. He says, "For whose sake I've lost all things and consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." That I may gain Christ. Now, I said there's a little bit of responsibility that comes along with having that stress lifting off of us. This is the key. And that is focusing upon Christ and upon what he wants for our lives. He said, "Well, Pastor, that's huge." You know what? I really don't think that it's as huge as what we try to make it. We try to make following Christ, doing what he asks of us, to be this terrible heavy load that we put down on our shoulders. Most of that is junk that men have gathered up and handed to us. It has to be, because Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart," and what? "You will find rest for your souls." See, in that, in his own words, he's telling us to take him on, and in taking him on, we will have rest in our lives. So something's wrong between the equation that we build of what the Christian experience is about and what Christ is looking for in us. You know, relationships can be incredible. Isn't it wonderful? How many of you have somebody that you can turn to? Parent? Mate? Somebody that you can turn to who cares about you. How many are glad of that? When things are difficult, when things aren't working, when things are overwhelming, you know that you can turn to this person and that they care about what you're going through. It's incredible. Well, see, that's Jesus. I said, that's Jesus. He did not design the life called the Christian life. He did not lay this out so that we would go, "Oh man, I guess I have to have more of Jesus." No. He said, "Come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You see, he wants us, as we move into him, to not feel like, "Oh, this means more responsibility. Oh, this means more commitment. Oh, this means I got to do this, this, and this." Relationship with him is not a list of things that we have to do. It's a place of settled peace. It's a place of understanding of how wonderful he is. You know, we used to sing a song all the time. "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." What a privilege it is to call upon him in prayer. You see, I would say this to you this morning. If intensifying your relationship with Jesus seems like a heavy thing to you, then you're listening to the wrong voice. Because that's not Jesus. You say, "Well, yeah, but you know, I've got to give up this and I've got to give up this. And if I'm going to get closer to the Lord, then I've got to move away from this and I've got to stop doing this." No, that's not Jesus' voice. That is the voice of your enemy, who is trying to keep you from being in relationship with Jesus. You say, "Well, Pastor, what about that holy thing and righteousness and all those kinds?" Listen, our righteousness comes from him as a free gift. It's not of works, lest any of us could boast that we're more righteous than somebody else. We receive from him our salvation. And it comes to us so free, so rich and so free. It's so glorious. Entering into relationship with Jesus, the whole picture that should be in our mind is one of entering into his rest. It's interesting, if you look in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews writer goes into this in detail. He says that the people of Israel, because of their pursuit of law and pursuit of things, pursuit of trying to do it right and always falling short, that they could never enter into the rest that God had for them. But he says, through Jesus Christ, you and I can enter into that rest. It is a rest of relationship. He wants to be that one that you can turn to in a moment and know that he cares. sad to me that some feel troubled. It's low. If I get closer to Jesus, then I'm going to have to give up all these things. I'm going to have to do all these things. They're going to call. I've even heard some people say, you know, I'm afraid that the Lord will call me to Africa. You don't need to be afraid of Africa. You don't need to be afraid of the calling of the Lord. Should be a Christian or two in here that believes this. Maybe not. I'm saying you don't have to fear the Lord at all. My Jesus does not force those who are His into doing anything. Well, you know, if I'm going to be on His side, then He's got my arm behind me and He's going to twist my arm and He's going to pull it. No, it doesn't work like that. Whatever you and I do truly for Him, we do out of our passion and our desire for Him. We're saying things like, Lord, whatever you want me to do, because if it will please you, if it will glorify you, if it will honor you, that's what I want to do. That's what will make me happy. And I would propose to you this morning that apart from Jesus, you cannot find happiness. You cannot find peace. There's an awful lot of people trying to pursue and find it. They're searching all over the place. My goodness, there are pill bottles and alcohol bottles and drug bottles, every kind of bottle you can think of, and every kind of relationship and everything else. They're trying to find that rest that can only come through Jesus. You see, really, it's just the opposite. You avoid Jesus, your life is in turmoil. You come to Jesus, your life can be at peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Paul's pursuit. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to share in His sufferings. I want to be like Him in His death. Oh my goodness. Because if I attain His death, I can attain His resurrection from the dead, Paul said. Now see, you may not be to that place yet where you say, Lord, let me fellowship with you in your sufferings. Hello? Has anybody prayed this week, Lord, help me to suffer? Come on. Paul says, not that I have already attained this. Not that I have already been made perfect. He wants all of his readers to realize he's still pursuing. He's still leaning in. He still wants to know Christ. He still realizes that there's more in the Lord. This is the Apostle Paul, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, says there's still more of Christ that I don't know about. Sometimes we have a Jesus box. You know, this nice little neat box that we keep Jesus in, that we go to when we have a need or a circumstance in our life, and we go to the Jesus box and we pry open the lid a little bit and we holler in what our need is and close it real fast. Again, because of our fear, we're afraid of Him. We're afraid of what He might want us to do or call upon us. You see, open up the box. Tear the box up. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. He will listen to your complaints. He will see your tears. I'm not standing here telling you today that if you come to Jesus that you'll never have a circumstance or a difficulty in your life. That would be a lie. Because see, He never said that. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But He put an addendum on it. He said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So there's nothing that you're going to face, nothing you're going to go through that I have not already experienced and know the way to overcome it. So He said, it's not that hooking up with me is going to end all of your problems of life. Don't go out of here this morning thinking that Pastor Bill said that if I come to know Jesus and if I follow after Jesus, that all of my situations in life are going to end. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. The truth of the matter is, you will have someone that you can call upon in every situation of your life, in every circumstance of your life, who not only will listen to you, but who has the answer. Now, how cool is that? I know as a dad, there are times that our kids call us from across the country and a situation's going on in their life. And they call us to let us know that it's happening, and we listen to them and we try to encourage them in it, but you know, we hang up the telephone and then we're doing this. Because we don't have the answer. There's not unlimited resources to be able to send in their direction. There's not the power to overcome situations and difficulties and the hurts that they're experiencing. We don't have that. But then all of a sudden you realize, hold on a minute, I know somebody who does. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on. Just that one who we can turn to. You see, this is what Paul was talking about. He said, here's the key. Here's the key for de-stressing your life. He said, well, now, Pastor, how is that going to help? It's going to help because you can be connected with somebody that you know has the answer. And not only has the answer, but has the power to help you to get through this circumstance. He can end that circumstance like this, or he can come alongside you and help you and give you strength as you walk through it. That's Jesus. The Apostle Paul wanted us to realize, and I think it's important to say one more time, he says, I haven't fully gotten a hold of this, but he said, I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And this is the beginning of our de-stressing in our life. And that is to press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. There is a purpose, there is a reason why you and I have been exposed to the gospel message, and that he has called and sent a call to us by his Holy Spirit for us to come into relationship with him. He has purpose. In other words, he wants to be your friend. Hallelujah. He's calling to us this morning. This just isn't me, but this is the Lord calling to us. Come. Come. And I will give you rest. Lean into me. When the load gets heavy, lean into me, because I have the answer to your circumstance. You know, I look across this sanctuary this morning and I see individuals who would not be here were it not for Jesus. Not only because of physical illnesses, but some because of sin. The power of sin being broken in their life made their lives have purpose and a new opportunity for them to walk forward, and has given them a life. Praise God. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul realized that he had been called out to a different life by Christ. And all of us who have surrendered our lives to him, all of us who have said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, all of us have that same thing. If we would just reckon with it in every part of our lives. It's not just when you come to church that Jesus is relevant. It's every day, in every circumstance. He said, but now, you know, this is happening to me, and what am I going to turn? You're going to turn to him just like you would turn to any other friend, to any other companion that you know cares. But you see, this companion has the power to change the circumstance. Now, don't get discouraged if he doesn't change your circumstance in the moment. Because there are things to be learned. There are things of value that you and I cannot see. And he loves us enough, he cares enough for us, that sometimes we have to walk through a situation. But we're not walking alone. Oh, don't you just love the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Come on. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? Because of protection. You know, there are times we can't protect our children. There are times that we can't protect our mates. There are times that we can't offer the protection to wrap our arms around them or stand between them and an enemy. But we have one who is our great and glorious shepherd who says, listen, I'll be right there. Prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come on. Jesus. Press on to take hold of that for which you've been called out by Him. There's a reason this morning that you are here. There's a reason, an eternal reason, why you have received the gospel. There are billions of people on the face of this earth who've never heard about Jesus. There's a reason why you have been chosen to receive. Lean into that this morning. Press into that. Don't be afraid of it. I feel compelled to say this again. You know, there is no fear in this relationship with Him, except the fear that the enemy places between us and Him. Don't be afraid to get close to Jesus. He will not put on you the demands that men may put upon you, trying to make you after their pattern. What He will do is He sees you just as you are. He knows your heart. And He loves you. Greater love has no man than this. Then he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus said. He's already died for you. That's how much He loves you. He's not wanting to put a heavy load down on top of you. He's wanting to lift heavy loads off of you. He wants to de-stress your life. He wants to take the stuff that the enemy puts on with fear and heartache and difficulty. He wants to take all of those things and lift those off of you so that you could know life like you've never known it before. Paul said it. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now let me share with you the second point here, and it's a huge point. It's gigantic. As we end another year, in verse number 13, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. You see, the enemy of your soul and my soul wants us to get tied up over the past. He wants us to get tied up over what we did in the past. But everything that Jesus is about is forgiving and letting go of the past so that we can strain toward the future. You ever tried to walk looking over your shoulder? I won't have you do it right now, but a little bit later, just give it a try. My balance issues, I probably better not try to show you here, but turning your head and then try to walk forward. I guarantee you, you can't walk a straight line. I guarantee you're going to feel all off balance. See, our bodies were not made for us to be looking this way when we're moving this way. Your life was not made by God for you to be looking constantly at your past and trying to move forward. Forgetting what is behind. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through this year. Jesus knows. And you can put it under His blood. Yes, there's wisdom to be gained sometimes from our past experiences. Hopefully we will pull the wisdom out of those things. But there should be no fear. There doesn't need to be any sorrow. There doesn't need to be any struggle. Forgetting what is behind. You know, we talk about forgiving a lot here in this place. And forgiveness is important. But really, forgiveness is in the hands of the Lord. Forgetting is also important. You and I need to learn to let go. You see, forgetting means to let go of, to hold on to, no longer to release. As you end this year, can I suggest to you that you let go of the sorrows, of the struggles, of the difficulties of 2015 and the years before? Some have carried things from their youth, hurts and pains and difficulties, and they've carried them on year after year after year after year. Paul says, give them to Jesus and let go of them. So, oh, but Pastor, you don't know how I've been hurt. You know how I was offended. You don't know how difficult this was. Yes, I don't. You're right. But the Lord does. And he's so incredibly able to take that which we commit unto him. Let it go. Let them go. Hear me? Let them go. Those ones who have hurt you, those ones who have done you harm, those ones who have left you, let it go. Let them go. The U.S. Bureau of Standards, I ran across this last week, and I feel like it goes right here. A dense fog covering a 7-city blocks to a depth of 100 feet condensed into water wouldn't fill a drinking glass. A dense fog, 7 city blocks in a square, 100 feet deep, would not have enough moisture to fill a single glass. You see, that's the way it is with worry. Worry over the past is like a fog. But condensed down, it really amounts to nothing. We don't like to think about that. But you see, this is the way the enemy works on us. He just brings that thing back again, and back again, and back again, and back again. Here's a little tip, something that can help. When the waves are crushing in, how many know what I'm talking about when I say that? When the waves are crushing in, you know? All the different thoughts, all the different things. A little practical thing that will kind of prove this out. Write it down. Write down the things that are coming at you. It's just a little practical thing, and I just throw it to you. But when you write it down, you will find that the fog that covers 7 square blocks, 100 feet deep, boils down into a little glass. When you finish your list, you'll swear up and down that there were more things that you were forgetting. You'll sit there and you'll groan because you'll think, there's got to be more things because I know it's been washing against my brain and it's just, you know, it's coming at me from 1,000 different ways. But when you write them out, you go, whoa. Now, this becomes your prayer list. And you just begin to take them one by one to the Lord. And what is also beneficial there in writing them down is that it frees your mind, because your mind will adjust to the fact that it's written down. You can carry it with you if you want to. And when the cloud, when the things start coming at you and washing into your life, you can reach out and take hold of that. And then you say, Lord, help me. Help me here and here and here and here and here. What you'll probably find is that they all boil down to maybe a maximum of 10 different things. Quite often, it's much less than that. And the Holy Spirit of God can help you one by one to be able to see to the other side, see through the fog to the other side. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead. I love that imagery is beautiful. You know, straining forward, reaching out to what is ahead. Not just ahead in our vision, but what is ahead for us in God's vision. Have you asked yourself yet, what does God want for me for 2016? Isn't it crazy to even be saying that, 2016? How many of you remember when we were talking about the year 2000, the world was going to come to an end? I didn't say that. Somebody said it. Looking ahead. See, the enemy wants to paint the bleakest picture possible. And it's all based upon the past. Huh? Well, now, you know, this happened, and this happened to such and such a person, and this happened over here. And so, you know, this is, you know, it's going to be bad. Ooh. Whew. Huh. Just remind him, I have Jesus. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Wouldn't that be a good song? Come on. Because he lives, there's a different picture of the tomorrows. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know. Yeah, okay. But because of Jesus, we can strain toward the future. I don't know how it's going to unfold. I don't know how he's going to get us out of this, but I know that he will. Because he lives in me. Hallelujah. Now you see, we sit here today and not a one of us know what is going to happen in this next year. Last Thursday, my uncle got up, went to his regular routine, sat down in his chair. About 15 minutes later, reached up and grabbed his head and was gone. Out into eternity. We had his funeral on Wednesday. We don't know what the future holds. But I know who holds the future. I know the one who holds the future in his hands. I don't have to worry over the future. I can just have a relationship. I can strain. I can pull in closer to Jesus. Oh, I'm going to be done. He says one more thing. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has made me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Are you heavenward this morning? How many of you are heavenward? He said, well, what does that mean? That means I'm going to heaven. I've already made my reservation. I have a purpose set in my heart that I am heavenward. And the Lord has a purpose for my life between now and when I make it there. So in other words, my destination is already set in place. And would there be anybody here who would disagree with the fact that heaven's going to be a pretty good place? Everything we know about it sounds pretty neat, doesn't it? So, I have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which he has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, he said, William, that's what he calls me. Sometimes it's, hey, you. You've got a place with me, a secure place for all of eternity. Everything that happens here, below, I have under control. And your future, I've got it all taken care of. So you don't need to worry. You don't need to fret. Just come to me with everything that's happening in your life. Press in. Press in. And I'll give you rest. Let go of what's happened in the past. Leave it behind. And press in. And you'll find rest. I hope you can hear this morning. I'm not asking you to be a member of this church. I'm not asking you to teach Sunday school. I'm not asking you to do anything except for press in to Jesus, and you'll find rest.